Today on Straight Talk Africa, we feature some of Africa's young, the best and the brightest. We'll discuss the significance of President Barack Obama's YALI initiative, now called the Mandela Washington Fellowship. That's coming up next, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. It's Wednesday, July 30th. I am Shaka Salih.
And hello to you, Shaka.
And hello to you, Mariama.
And hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll introduce to you some of the continent's best and brightest who just completed President Obama's Young African Leadership Program.
Such an exciting week in Washington with the fellows. We'll share some of their thoughts and yours on YALI in general. That's coming up later in our social media segment. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, U.S. President Barack Obama says the future stability of the world depends on African nations' prosperity and self-reliance. Mr. Obama made the comment Monday to a group of 500 young people attending the first Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders. My colleague, Maria Manjaro, was there.
The President of the United States.
They came from all corners of sub-Saharan Africa to participate in the fellowship program. At the end, a conversation with the person who started the Young African Leaders Initiative, President Barack Obama.
The objective was to give young Africans the opportunity to come to the United States and develop their skills as the next generation of leaders in civil society, business, and government.
Mr. Obama launched YALI in 2010, and this year's fellowship helped empower young people through academic coursework, leadership training, and networking. The president says he was impressed with the 50,000 applicants his office received.
One young woman from rural Zimbabwe took a five-hour bus ride, then another six-hour bus ride, then another seven-hour bus ride, a two-day journey just to get her interview.
Before taking questions, Mr. Obama made the following announcement.
We are proud to announce that the new name of this program is the Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders.
These 500 fellows, a number the president hopes to double in the next 2 years, are seen as some of Africa's most promising young leaders. They met with U.S. entrepreneurs, government officials, and civil society representatives during the six-week program. But being able to meet Mr. Obama and ask a direct question was especially thrilling.
I think I was persistent. I kept raising my hand from the moment he said it's question time.
Her question was about next week's summit of African leaders in Washington.
My concern will be, how will you be able to engage them to commit to their promises? Because I know they're going to promise you.
Mr. Obama answered he'll do his part. But the fellows also have a responsibility.
You're going to have to also help to hold them accountable collectively across countries. And that's part of why this network can be so important.
For others, the chance to develop their skills and meet so many people is a once-in-a-lifetime dream.
First of all, the high quality of trainings and networking, meeting with people, talking to successful businessmen, startups, and chambers of commerce.
How can I use my creativity to help the community around me, but still making money as an entrepreneur?
The three-day summit, which began on Monday right behind me, will also feature plenary sessions with members of Congress, leaders in international development, and representatives of non-governmental organizations. The fellows will also have another opportunity to meet with another member of the Obama family on Wednesday, and that would be the First Lady, Michelle Obama. In Washington, Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Thanks, Mariama, for that report. Now, joining us here in our Washington studios are three young African leaders who just completed this year's Washington Fellowship Program. Abera Bateyunga currently works with the British Broadcasting Corporation, or BBC, where she is Governance Officer for Media Action in Tanzania. Isaac Mwanza currently serves as the Democracy and Governance Specialist at the Young African Leadership Initiative, or YALI, in the Zambian capital, Lusaka. And last but not least, Safia Ahmed Nuhu, lecturer at the Department of Public Law at Bayero University in the Nigerian northern state of Kano. I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much.
We are most honored.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. Let me come to you, Abera, immediately. You just interacted with the First Lady.
Yes.
Your reaction?
Inspired. Amazing. She just set her day. She's very confident, mm-hmm. very inspiring, very caring, very real, and very relatable. Her issues, what she stands for, I identify with. The right for young women. I'm a young woman. But the participation of young women in society. So she spoke on my voice.
She
became my voice today.
Isaac, what about you?
Well, I feel inspired. And I'll tell you, the message resonates with me. And it has made me realize the importance of recognizing women's rights. I'm powerful. I can be powerful as a man if a woman is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That is the message that I took. And I think when I get back home, that is what I'll be focusing on, trying to empower the young women so that when they are powerful, it means a man gets to be powerful.
So do you agree then, as some have suggested, that if you educate a man, you end up with an individual, but that if you educate a woman, you end up with a community?
That is very, very true. That is very true, Shaka, because if you look at what a woman does, a woman is the one who stays with the children at home. A woman is the one who takes all the responsibilities, like back in Africa, is the one who takes the full responsibility in the upbringing of a child. And so when you're educating a woman, it means that you're actually educating a village, you're educating a community, you're educating the nation, and you are going to have very responsible citizens. But when you educate me, well, I might walk in the streets of Lusaka and just enjoy and say, here I am, very educated, okay, and enjoy my life. I think it is very, very important to educate a woman, and we need to give that a priority.
What about you, Safia? I was looking at the script, frankly, and you guys were applauding the First Lady almost after each and every syllable.
We were resonating with what the First Lady was saying all the time, because she was touching on what is dear to our hearts, what we would love to see on ground, what we care about, what we're all passionate about, and what we're all working towards. For me, it was really very personal because I'm an educator. So I am really passionate about girls going to school. And well, there are many things and many circumstances which hinder that being achieved. So getting the support of all the wonderful leaders, I mean, upcoming young African leaders, and getting the support of Michelle Obama and President Obama, I mean, that was something that was very important to us.
She, of course, also mentioned this very important issue of at least 200 Nigerian girls who have actually been kidnapped by Boko Haram. How did you feel when you heard that coming from her mouth?
Amazingly, this is something that has been coming up all the time, you know. This is something that everyone is very concerned about, and the world has gathered support over. The Chibok kidnapping of the girls is something that everyone is looking forward to. It's being resolved and the girls being released. But then it has much more impact than just the girls that are affected, because it has impact on the education on ground. People are afraid to go to schools because of the potential of them being in the same situation as the girls which were actually abducted. But then from being someone from Nigeria, actually before I came to the Washington Fellowship, I was in South Africa because I'm doing my PhD there. Mm-hmm. And I was at the University of Witwatersrand, and we rallied campaign. We had a lot of people that were coming to give talks, and we had sessions supporting the campaign against for the release of the girls. And that was something that was also being duplicated in many parts of Africa. I am a member of a civil society organization, which is the Kano Civil Society Forum. And one of the things that is very critical in Kano State at this point, and many other parts of northern Nigeria, is the security situation that we're facing. Civilians are the main victims of the security situation that we're facing in northern Nigeria. So my NGO was one of those that really chaired the rallies and the support for the release of the girls.
So you attend the prestigious WITS University?
I am attending. I'm doing my PhD there, yes.
I was once a research associate affiliated to WITS when I was a graduate student at UCLA. And that is way back in the 80s. Let me come to you again, Abeda. Yes. What is your assessment of this fellowship, your experience, really?
My experience. It has been 6 weeks. This has been the seventh. We are hosted by the Presidential Precinct and was under the two institutions, the University of Virginia and the College of William and Mary, under the Presidential Residence, Monticello for Thomas Jefferson,
yes.
Montpelier for James Madison, the father of Constitution. And then we have Ashland Highland for James Monroe. And then we also had Morven, also affiliated with Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to get the, I call it the presidential treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And then to just to experience the founding fathers of America and to learn national building and to learn constitution making and to just learn democracy. But also we look at data. We look at leadership.
Mm-hmm.
We learn so much from the speakers. We learn so much from the organizer, but among each other. I always say I thought I knew Africa until I met my fellow African. And the amazing things we are both doing in our country, now I'm more curious to find out more about Africa. Because if I'm standing for Africa, if I'm calling myself Africa, I should know what I'm standing for. And so it has been so amazing. Challenging too. 6 weeks. Sure. We kind of got overwhelmed because there was so much information, but we are not regretting. We are not regretting at all.
It was very interesting, of course, when I had the opportunity to come over there in Shotsuvir and interact with you.
Yes.
What about you, Isaac? That is the first time that we actually met in flesh and blood, and you claimed or alleged that you had actually interacted with me several times.
Shaka, I've been interacting with you for quite a longer period of time. My father was a fan of Straight Talk Africa, and I've been following it ever since religiously. And I think it has inspired me so much, such that now I feel like I'm so well informed as a governance advisor. And so seeing you at in Ashland was something great for me. And now being on this show is so great, a show that has inspired me, that talk about real issues that affect our continent, the democracy that is going on, the governance, trying to ensure that you give a picture of what Africa really is. And so this show to me is an inspiration, and you are an inspiration. I think it was great to meet you there. And well, one of the things that I want to say is that I learned a lot, like at the Presidential Precinct. Understanding the history of America, the founding fathers like Abela has talked about, the slavery period and what they did, what actions they took. Did they manage to free the slaves before they died in their lives? How did they live their lives? What dreams did they see? What visions did they see for the future? I was inspired somehow. I knew that there is a darker side to it. But it taught me one thing. We always need to look at the positive side of a human being. And I think that is an attitude that we need to take. There may be a lot of wrong things that may be going on in our personal lives, in other people's personal lives, but there is that one moment which is a positive moment. For instance, if you look at Jefferson, when he talks about all men shall be free.
Yes.
That was great. It was a vision.
I created the
eco. Okay. So that has been a vision. And this is, it has come a long way from the 1700s up to this date. And now America has almost achieved that kind of a status. We believe the same in Africa, that everyone is equal. And I think something beautiful is happening.
As a matter of fact, I think he was the third U.S. president, Thomas Jefferson, who served two terms, 1801 to 1809. He said, among other things, I hold this truth to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What about that, Sophia? What about that?
Pursuit of happiness.
I think that is what we're all moving towards, the pursuit of happiness. We've seen that when we witnessed the 4th of July celebrations, when a number of people were actually given United States citizenship, and that was really an experience worth remembering. But one of the main things that I have really appreciated about this entire program was the getting to know each other, the meeting of the 25 fellows, and then later the other 475 fellows that we were able to meet. It actually made me realize that I thought I knew Africa, but I didn't really know Africa. And yes, and also going through all the historical places, how much Americans value history, how much they connect their present with their past, made me realize that we're not doing justice to our past.
Right.
It made me realize how important history is for you understanding your present and your ability to now construct your future, to plan ahead so that your past is integrated into your future. Learning from your past would help you understand yourself, and that is one very valuable lesson. And one other very important thing was the interdisciplinary way that everything was being taught, economics, geography. those were really tasking.
Yeah.
You know, Sophia, there is a saying that one out of every African may, in fact, be a Nigerian. What does that mean? What does that say to you?
One out you of realize every... Chance,
every four Africans may, in fact, be a Nigerian.
Oh, well, I thought it was one out of every six Africans that could be a Nigerian. So I work with Nigerian youth, and I think of Nigeria as a country with a huge potential. I don't even look at the natural resource potential. I mean, the human resource potential that we have is enormous.
And then,
we
of course,
are a huge number.
The obligation.
Quite okay. I mean, when they were talking about 45 Nigerians being on this program, and then other countries having less. There were countries that have 2, 3, and then others 20. I felt, well, Nigeria, we are about 168 million or
could
170.
Could even be 180 or 90 million. We'll come back to that later, Sophia. So. Time happens not to be our best ally. Before we pause for a short break, we would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is on the social networking website, Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
The Young African Leadership Initiative is President Obama's signature effort to invest in the next generation of African entrepreneurs, educators, activists, and innovators. The Washington Fellowship empowers young people through academic coursework, leadership training, and networking. 500 fellows were selected from almost 50,000 outstanding young African leaders who applied online. Eligible candidates needed to be citizens of and residents in a sub-Saharan African country, proficient in spoken and written English, between the ages of 25 and 35 years old at the time of application.
The fellowship required 6 weeks of study at a U.S. university in one of three tracks: business and entrepreneurship, public management, and civic leadership. Selected fellows will remain in the United States for an additional 8 weeks to participate in internships in the public, private, and nonprofit sectors.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Washington. I know most of you are visiting our country for the first time, so on behalf of the American people, welcome to the United States of America.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're gonna get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui, and welcome back. We now bring you another YALI graduate from Zimbabwe. Rumbizai Dube is a human rights defender and lawyer with more than 6 years' experience in legal research and advocacy work. My colleague Paul Sisco sat down in the VOA studios and had a chat with her.
Should you be able to participate in the upcoming Leaders Summit? What would you like to say to those that are leading the African continent now?
There are a lot of things I would want to say to them. And for me, it is unfortunate that my own leader will not be participating in this particular summit. And it is one of the queries that I actually wanted to raise with President Obama of how do we, as young African leaders, engage around the outcomes and the recommendations that are coming out of this summit, which are really critical for our work. And how do we address them to our leaders who are not part of the negotiation process of coming up with those outcomes? So that's a difficulty and challenge that I'm going to have to face when I go back home. But some of the things that we want our leaders to address, first, increase citizens' participation in any decision-making processes, because it is from the grassroots that the leaders can understand what it is that people actually want from them. After all, we are in a social contract. We put them there so they could serve us and give us what we assigned them to deliver: social services, education, health. Those are the basic things that any citizen wants from its government. So we expect them to listen to our views and to put those into policies that best address our needs as citizens. I also want them to work much harder on empowering women on our continent. We still have many forms of gender discrimination in many parts of the continent. There's still female genital mutilation. There's a lot of violence against women on our continent, and it is being perpetuated by harmful cultural practices. So we need our leaders to engage our traditional cultural systems more, to bring them into the mainstream and for them to respect women and to protect the girl child even more. Thirdly, I would love for our governments to address youth needs. In my country, 60% of the population are young people. Very energetic, very intelligent, very patriotic, and wanting the best for their continent and for their country. But they are not given equal opportunities because we live in these very parochial systems that look down upon youth as a lack of authority and of power. And so I feel that if youth are given a voice, and are allowed to participate more effectively, our countries have a stronger chance of becoming contenders in the global community. Yes. So I think for me, those are three main critical issues that I would want to bring to our leaders at the African Summit.
Yes, that was another Yali Fellow, Rumiza Edube, who of course spoke with my colleague, Paul Sisko, here in the Voice of America studios, in fact, yesterday. What is your reaction to what she has to say? Abel, I know that you guys have been together.
Yes, Rumbizai. Mm-hmm. She speaks what I do back at home.
Does it resonate with what, in fact, is happening in Tanzania?
Yeah, and I believe it's the biggest picture of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Fact is 60% or even 60 plus of the population in Africa, of which we call it a young continent,
mm-hmm.
is young people.
Yes.
A question has always been asked, is the youthfulness of Africa a benefit or is it something else?
Mm-hmm.
It can be a benefit or something else on how we trade with the same. It's a beautiful resource, but if there's no engagement, like the way she's saying, then it's going to be a challenge moving forward, because the fact again is they're saying the coming century, Africa, the biggest human resource is going to come from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But if this human resource is not developed in their mind,
mm-hmm.
it's not developed in their skills,
mm-hmm.
the potential might not necessarily be helpful. And then if young people are not engaged in a constructive manner, if they're not informed in a constructive manner, they can engage in other way that is not constructive for our continent. And so what she's saying is really true. But what I believe is it's also our responsibility as young people.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't just sit down and wait to be engaged.
It is your moment.
It is our moment, but they cannot just sit on and say, come, we want you to be engaged. We want to ask and we want to demand and we should push forward. But we should push forward with credibility, with data, with information, with skills, and actually saying this is what we are bringing on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a partnership. If you want to bridge this gap between the outgoing generation or the current generation, what we are coming, we need to look for a way that we can start dialoguing and actually have something to bring on the table. That would be effective participation.
I see. Isaac, what about the fact that, yes, your generation is the majority in terms of numbers, which of course translated politically would mean that you guys, in fact, should be in charge.
Yeah.
And yet, it is an older generation that is in power, and the generation keeps telling you that you are the leaders of tomorrow, when in fact you are supposed to be the leaders of today.
Okay.
How do you react to that?
That is very sad, Shaka. It saddens my heart to hear that every time we talk about a youth, we say a youth is a leader of tomorrow. We really must be leaders of today. But like Abela has said, what are we doing as young people to ensure that we can take up the mantle of leadership? Even society, our society, we need to ask our society now, how much are they preparing young people for leadership? One of the founding fathers of Zambia, Dr. Kaunda, actually made a very serious challenge to the youth. He said, you will not become a leader because you are simply a youth. You will become a leader because you are dedicated to issues of service, serving mankind. So are we as young people rising to the occasion where we can save our societies? Young people have been used most of the time as just to campaign, to go and vote. The last election in Zambia is a telling story where we changed the regime. The youth managed to create a change of the regime.
Mm-hmm.
But where are the young people? We do not have numbers either in parliament, as we are talking about. There is nobody who's above the age of below the age of 35. In the councils, it's pathetic. So in all leadership structures, it's pathetic. But the youth have the potential to lead that country. But what we need to do now is not to continue crying foul and foul and foul.
I'm afraid.
We need to do is to focus on what can we do to prepare young people for leadership. And I think this is what I am going to be doing with my colleagues when we get back home, to prepare young people for leadership.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, because right now time is not our best ally. You're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic and outstanding feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from someone who would have loved to be part of the Young African Fellowship Program.
enhance my management and leadership competency in public affairs. It's also critical to learn about dialogue on national and international matters.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call us collect and we'll pay for the call. Or call direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Maliama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Yali is creating unique opportunities in Africa for fellows to utilize their new skills to lead organizations, communities, and countries. While some are leaving this week at the end of the three-day conference, others were selected to stay and participate in an additional 8-week internship. I was able to interview many of them to find out what Yali means to them.
How can I also inspire other young Africans to also believe in themselves, believe in their potential, believe in Africa? I know that Africa is not the continent of tomorrow, it's the continent of today. Everybody's coming there, so we have to be ready, one, to receive them because it's our culture, but at the same time to offer them the environment so they can help us develop our continent.
I feel like that commitment we've taken in this Mandela Washington Fellowship will get concrete sooner than we expected, because we have the network now, we have the right counterparts, and we can build all these network and relationships which can help us deliver our projects when we'll get back home.
I'm looking into issues of youth advocacy and policy, and probably creating leadership clubs in elementary schools and junior high schools back home. I've been able to meet a couple of companies whose specific areas are into youth development, career building, exchange programs.
When I go back to my country, I'm hoping to participate in the political process, to influence the policy-making decisions, and to benefit people with disabilities who have the skills and the experiences.
Well, there were 50,000 applicants, and many wanted to be part of Yali but simply couldn't. So we wanted to give our audience the opportunity to ask questions to some of the fellows who are here today. And here it is in our question of the week. What knowledge, skills, or experiences are you most interested in learning about from the fellows of the Young African Leaders Initiative? Well, we'll go, I want to thank you first, everyone, for using all our social media platforms to communicate to us. We'll begin with a comment from Kinzeka Collins from Cameroon, who writes, I'm interested in learning more about responsible leadership that can be void of corruption, embezzlement, bribery, and economic manipulation. Another comment comes from Chukwuka Onwora from Abuja in Nigeria, who says, I would like to express my gratitude to VOA for providing this platform for Africans to express our views and comments. I would love to learn how to better recognize opportunities when they arise and how to create a strategy to execute a business plan. Some outstanding questions here. I believe the 6-week fellowship followed by the 3-day conference have certainly taught you guys a lot. Shaka and guests, what are your thoughts on these?
What about you, Safia? What do you have to say, especially the fact that you are really challenged when it comes to your generation? You're not going to wait for manna to come from heaven, because it's not going to come.
Yeah, well, we're not actually going to wait for manna to come from heaven. I have always found it a challenge looking in a class full of bright young students who are really brilliant. I remember a particular incident in which someone came and addressed my students and was really impressed by the quality of, you know, thoughts and ideas that came from them. And one of the things that, and it's the platform that Nigeria is also working towards, is entrepreneurship. We actually have programs now in Nigeria that are focused on promoting entrepreneurship in every university. And that requires most all the students to prepare a business plan and then submit the business plan for assessment. Within my university, I know that is how they do it. I don't know other universities. I think that is a very brilliant idea in which the students that come out of it can actually use it now to start developing something, because actually jobs are just not there. Mm-hmm. So entrepreneurship is one of the means through which youth can empower themselves, then seize opportunities, try to create those opportunities for themselves and for others, rather than just wait for. So I'm always like, youth can individually or collectively do something for themselves. Social entrepreneurship, that is something that is very useful. You know, that's something that can address a lot of our social problems. And it is something that I would really very much encourage the youth to work on, and we can be able to do something for ourselves, individually, collectively, or otherwise. Yeah.
Talking about social issues, Mariama, let's hear, you know, some more social media contributions.
Well, actually, Safiya has the same name as my daughter, so I might have a little bias for her today in the studio. But obviously, I respect everyone else. I'm so happy to also meet Isaac Mwanza, who's one of our most involved social media commentators. So I'm very happy that you guys are in here. We'll move on to another posting from Adinda Moses from Kigali in Rwanda, who writes, I want to learn about developing entrepreneurial skills and how to better utilize resources for the development of African countries. I believe this is an area you guys have worked on extensively while you were here as well. And I think Safiya just touched on that. We can check out another one while we're at it from Mohammed Ahmed Mansour from Monrovia in Liberia, who says, I am more interested in facilitating the training of youth election monitors in Africa, conducting research for youth and women's democratic engagement, strengthening dialogues between citizens and parliamentarians. Wow, that's a fantastic question. Shaka and guests.
Very interesting. Abela, I'm sure along the way, somehow there has been reference to another young American president who, of course, was assassinated, frankly, when he was very, very young. Mm. A man from Massachusetts called John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Yeah. He once said in this particular context, really, that we are, you know, having a conversation, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
Excellent quote. I live and breathe that quote. I'm very patriotic and I'm a very proud African. And that's what one thing I wanted to say. I feel like as young people, 60%, we are at the advantage. But we never be at the advantage if we are not knowledgeable. I believe only developed people can develop a nation, a continent for mm-hmm. that matter. Mm-hmm. So I like the question of one of the viewers saying that how can we learn into entrepreneurship? We are all in civic leadership, but we believe we are all social entrepreneurs. But sometimes some of these, we're living in information technology. Most of these skills and knowledge are found on a click. So we need to start knowing and finding. One thing I've learned of the founding fathers of America, they read and read and read to bring evolution. We cannot sit down and wait to be taught what to do. We need to find out what ought to be done and actually advance.
They thought, they discussed, they had debates, disagreements, and all sorts of things.
But it started from knowledge.
And just yet, some of you come from countries where some of your leaders, in fact, say that thinking, frankly, is a luxury. Because the political issue has been settled. What you need is to develop, you need to go and dig and get food.
Just to add on what Abela has said, I believe there was a quotation that really caught my mind when we were going through Monticello, the home of Thomas Jefferson. You know, the leaders were really very visionary. One of the things he said was that education is the foundation for a functional democracy. And not only did he, when he realized that, he took the deliberate steps to make sure that education was made available. And that, in my opinion, is one of the things that we're lacking in our context, because we have people that are hugely uneducated.
Right.
How would they demand for their rights? How would they know the leaders to choose? How would they know their voting, you know, rights to go out to vote and all those?
So you basically agree with some who say that a lot of leaders on the continent really talk the talk, but do not walk that particular talk, so that people can walk the walk. Well, thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, Shaka, you mentioned John Kennedy, the 35th president of the United States. I actually went to high school, my first 4 years of high school, in Dakar. I went to a high school that was named after JFK. So that quote that he says was hammered on us all the time. What you can do for, don't wait to see what the state can do for you, but what you can do for the people. That's really, really good. Anyways, it's been a wonderful week meeting all these young, beautiful, and bright minds from Africa. I was so proud and honored to meet so many of them. Also, I have one more special shout out just for you, Shaka, from the Washington Fellow from Uganda, Robert Nkwangu.
I hope actually to meet you at some point, someday, where I can give you my hard questions, and hopefully you'll be able to give me a response. And thank you so much.
He was so excited when we told him that I was with basically Straight Talk Africa, and he wanted to make sure that I send that message. So hopefully we can have him one day, Robert, here in our studios as one of the future leaders from Uganda. Now, just a reminder that we appreciate everyone's feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Just simply subscribe to VOA TV to Africa. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, U.S. President Barack Obama welcomes 50 African leaders to Washington for the first ever U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit. The summit is designed to advance America's focus on trade and investment in Africa and highlight the administration's commitment to Africa's security, its democratic development, and its people. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
If you have just joined us, today we have introduced to you some of the continent's best and brightest. We just completed President Obama's Young African Leadership Program. Our distinguished guests are three young African fellows. Abera Bateyunga currently works with the British Broadcasting Corporation, or BBC, where she is Governance Officer for Media Action in Tanzania. Isaac Mwanza currently serves as the Democracy and Governance Specialist at the Young African Leaders Initiative, or YALI, in the Zambian capital, Lusaka. And last but not least, Safia Ahmad Nuhu, lecturer at the Department of Public Law at Bayero University in the Nigerian northern state of Kano. Once again, I have to say I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Shaka.
You're most welcome. I have to say that I am being reminded by my boss to go to the lifeline of the show. There's no democracy in Studio 52. If your producer says you have to go, you have to go. Let's go to Tanzania. Good evening, Abdul. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Mr. Chapman. How are you, sir?
I am hugely terrific, Ndugu, but can you reduce the volume on your set because we are getting an echo on the line, please?
That is really sad. Okay. So, thank you. Hello, studio.
Yes, what is your question, Abdullah?
Yes, my question is that as the country of Africa, as we know that Barack Obama want to provide the program of leadership, so, but one problem in our African continent is that the leadership are very hypocrite. But they spend on the nation to govern something which they want themselves. So if Barack Obama pointed or started this program, so I don't know which way he will use to organize or to educate the young leadership from Africa in order to participate in democracy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You want to take that, Isaac? In fact, even former Kenyan President Daniel Arap Moi has criticized this yearly program because he's in fact wondering, first of all, about the selection. Can you tell us briefly how you were selected? And also, how is this program going to determine the leaders of Africa?
Interesting. I've read what Mr. Moi has said in Kenya and a number of people that tried to criticize this program. But I'll tell you something. We have been selected from applicants of about 50,000 across the continent who applied.
Mm-hmm.
And out of 50,000, everybody needed an opportunity to come to the United States and participate in a program of this nature. This is a program which is merely trying to look at young leaders, trying to connect them, trying to network them, to network all of us who have been here, to create the networks and to build our thinking capacity as well, not just to be brainwashed or to do anything that people would refer to. But we are simply here to say we're a global village. We need each other. We mm-hmm. need, America needs Africa. Africa needs America. And this is a partnership that we need. And so we are a team that has been selected from amongst the 50,000 participants. Like you have seen from people that have posted on the social media, people want an opportunity to learn about how to come up with business plans. These are things that you can learn back home, but you can also learn them from the United States. So this is just a learning moment. And what we are doing ourselves when we get back home, for instance, we are trying to create what is called the Pan-African Leadership Institute, the PALI, which is wholly driven by young Africans who have met here and networked. So this party is going to be preparing young leaders who are from different political parties, preparing them for leadership, so that when they are ready for leadership, they should, our leaders should be able to recognize them and include them in the decision-making process of their countries.
I see. Well, a reminder that you are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. If you wish to participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. Yes, country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
On Monday, President Barack Obama announced the expansion of YALI. Signature aspects of this expansion include the creation of 4 regional leadership centers in Ghana, Kenya, Senegal, and South Africa, renaming the Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders as the Mandela Washington Fellowship, and a doubling in size of the initiative to 1,000 participants by 2016. New virtual resources and vibrant physical spaces for the YALI network, hundreds of new entrepreneurship grants and mobile incubators. The 2015 Global Entrepreneurship Summit will be held in sub-Saharan Africa.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them, today, not tomorrow. So let's connect, let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things
that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known. It's Upfront every Wednesday, 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui. And of course, back to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Majok from South Sudan. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Yeah, good evening, Chakasa. Thank you.
I am hugely terrific. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm very much interested in the program.
How do you feel on this day of remembrance, really, for the father, the founding father of your nation, the late Dr. John Garang Mabior?
Yeah, actually we were celebrating the Matai days today, in which including our leader, Dr. John Garang Mabior. So it was very fantastic. It was celebrated, colorful and beautiful, although we were excluded from Young African Leadership Initiative participation, which 50 countries are participating.
I see.
Hello?
Hello, yes, please.
Yes. So we are very delightful today in our country. We are celebrating, although we had the fighting.
Thank you. What is your question, Majok?
Yes, my question goes to the guests and the leadership of that initiative program.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was said that Young African Leadership Initiative have called all the youth leaders to United States for a training. And how can you be given a chance or young to participate development in democracy and justice when all the African leaders are being influenced by the West leaders? How can you get that chance? That is my question.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You want to give it a shot, Abela?
Most definitely. We are here today, aren't we, in the Young Africa. I know it's just a fraction of the entire young African population, but it's a start. That is one. Two, I think the challenge or the blame should not be because we are invited in America. Actually, our leadership and even young Africans should look at it and say, so how can we bring such a program back in the continent?
Mm-hmm.
President Obama yesterday just announced to extend this program back in the continent. So I feel like this was a beautiful start. And then for me, the challenge I'm giving back to our leaders is, do we have to be called in America?
Mm-hmm.
Can't we be dialoguing with them?
Sure.
Back in our homes?
Sure.
So if we are to talk of democracy and engagement and governance, it starts with us back in the country. We are ready.
We want to dialogue.
We want to do things.
Can we
sit down and dialogue?
I hear you. Let's go to your country of birth, as a matter of fact, Tanzania. Good evening, John. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Shaka.
You're most welcome.
I'm calling from Dar es Salaam.
Uh-huh. The city of peace, the hub of peace.
Yeah, I'm calling from the slum, the hub of peace, and Abela is my sister and my fellow in activism. I'm glad to see him with you, Shaka.
I see. What is your question, please? You have a minute.
Well, my question goes straight to Abela, and now that Tanzania is in the constitution-making process, and Abela has gone to U.S. and learned about constitution-making and founding the nation, and the states of America have, and what will she contribute to our country at a point now that we have this constitutional making standoff in the parliament and sought for hard discussion about the unit between ourselves and Tanganyikans and Zanzibars.
Thank you.
What will Abela contribute and what has she learned out of it?
Thank you. Go for it, Abela.
As a media personality back in my country, working for media, my job is to first train the media, but also civic education back in my country. People need to understand the entire process because it can be a bit confusing for someone who does not have the knowledge. Mm-hmm. So it's to educate the society on what actually is going on so that when we reach at the referendum point, people know what they're voting for, if it's for or against, but mm-hmm. also understand the issues that are within the draft. So I'm going to go back home, being at the front line, saying, what does this mean and what impact will it have in our nation? Given the fact that Tanzania is going into election next year, from local parliament and a national election next year. Mm-hmm. So 2015 is going to be largely defined by the new constitution that we'll get. And so I'm going to be in the front line using media, using my activism, using my youth leadership, and what I've learned here at Yali back at home.
Thank you. Sophia, you and a lot of other fellows have told me that they are very excited, overwhelmed. It is really an experience, frankly, that they perhaps never dreamed about, never dreamed of. Is this something that can be done at your country level, for example, getting an opportunity to interact with the man that lives in the Aso Rock and the First Lady? How would that feel?
Well, I think looking back home, you know, we have a saying, Tefia Mubuding Ilimi, that means traveling is the opening to knowledge and learning. There are definitely things that are not learned in class. There are things that are not learned within your narrow environment. You get to have your imagination, your thoughts, and your intellect widened and broadened by interaction and by traveling. Mm-hmm. And part of the learning that we have gotten is also by interacting with people who have, you know, international best practices, who have done things that we aspire to do, who have on ground systems that we wish to see on ground, who actually, you know, promote the rule of law. That is what we want to see in our countries.
I see.
And, you know, I look back to the 15,000 people that have applied in Nigeria, and I think each and every one of those 15,000 people must have had a motivation for applying. He must have had the conviction that he is equal to all of us who did that.
Thank you.
With them on ground, I mean, we can really do a great deal.
You have the last word, Isaac. What would you say, if you looked in the camera straight, frankly, what would you say to President Michael Sata of Zambia and his colleagues?
What I would say to President Michael Sata back home is that we have seen what other leaders are doing outside to try and bring the young people from Africa to try and interact with them. We need our leaders to begin to interact with the young people. We need them to take an initiative. We need you, President Sata, to take an initiative and interact with the youth. Call a summit where you can interact with the young people. You can learn from them the challenges that they face. Young people face a lot of challenges,
yes.
But you can learn from them and they can learn from you.
Especially given that, in fact, it was the youth who voted him into power.
Into power. That is very, very important.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guest, Abela Bateyunga, Governance Officer for the British Broadcasting Corporation, or the BEEP, as it is normally called, Media Action in Tanzania. Isaac Mwanza, Democracy and Governance Specialist for the Young African Leadership Initiative in the Zambian capital of Lusaka. And last but not least, Safia Ahmad Nuhu, lecturer at the Department of Public Law at Bayero University in the northern Nigerian state of Kano. Thanks to affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, please. And remember to keep the African hopes alive.